In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 20 and 21, it says that it would be better for those not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away. The question is this: is this speaking of a greater or lesser degree of punishment? All right, well, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 and see if we can't read this passage and then define this question a little clearer here. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 20 and 21. In this context, Peter is talking about those who have been deceived by false teachers and who have fallen away from the faith and have decided to abandon living faithfully for Christ each and every day. And so it says this regarding them: for if, this is verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. So the circumstance is this. Here's some people who had at one time become Christians, and they had committed to Christ. They had been baptized. They had been forgiven of their sins, and they had lived faithfully for a while. But then for some reason or another, they decided to stop doing those things. And Peter says that they have again been entangled in the pollutions of the world and overcome, it says. So at one point we were all entangled in the pollutions of the world, but then we learned the truth about the gospel, that we need to repent of our sins and turn to Christ for forgiveness. And we did that, and we were baptized, and we were forgiven. And then as a result of that, we started living for Christ each and every day, which meant that we gave up living in those pollutions of the world. And we could list off what those things are, you know, through several different lists in the New Testament. Romans chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 contains a list like that. And Galatians chapter 5 that contains, you know, the lusts of the flesh. And Ephesians chapter 4 talks about some things like that. So there's a lot of passages in the New Testament talk about what all those sinful things are, and that people live within them each and every day. But as Christians, we've given up that lifestyle. But what happens when a Christian decides, well, I don't want to live faithful anymore, I'm going to go back to living the way that I lived before, and starts engaging in all of those lusts and desires, those wicked, evil desires, over again? Well, Peter says that their latter state is worse for them than the beginning. In other words, they're worse off now than they were before they became Christians. And why is that? Because now they know what they're doing, and they're doing it on purpose, whereas before there may have been some ignorance of the matters, and they were doing things ignorantly and in unbelief, as Paul says about his own life in 1 Timothy chapter 1. So because of that, here's what Peter says: it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. So in essence, now they know the truth, but yet they are completely rejecting it. And their latter state is going to be worse for them than the beginning. And so the questioner then asks this question: is this speaking of a greater or lesser degree of punishment, that is, for those who apostatize or who abandon the faith and then who decide to live unfaithfully and to go back to the world? When Christ comes again and he judges the world, are those going to be punished more severely than those who never became Christians at all? And the answer to that question is yes. They are going to be, and this is talking about greater and lesser degrees of punishment. And why would I say that? Why would there be greater or lesser degrees of punishment? Because not all people have the same amount of sins within their lives. Not all people sin to the same degree as other people sin. And while one sin will condemn a person, that doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be an equal share of punishment in relationship to what those sins are. Punishment can be different for different kinds of sins. And there's other passages that teach this in the Bible. So turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 12 for just a minute. Luke chapter 12 and verses 47 and 48. And it all goes back to this, that God, and we're talking about the person who is lost, the person who is not saved, but the person who has decided to take the penalty for his or her sins upon his own shoulders, all right? God is going to punish every single person according to the sins that he has committed and that he is responsible for, all right? Now, that's different in every single person's life. It's not the same. Not every person commits the same sins, and not every person commits the same amount of sins. And when we're talking about punishment for sin, that punishment has to be just. It has to be righteous. And coming from a righteous and just God, God is not going to punish anyone more than they deserve or less than they deserve. For a righteous and just God to punish somebody more than they deserve would not be righteous and just. For a righteous and just God to punish somebody less than they deserve would not be righteous and just. Okay? And so everybody who has decided to take their sins upon their own shoulders and not allow Jesus to forgive them of their sins, they're going to be punished. And that punishment is going to be according to their sinfulness. Now look at, we were turning over to Luke chapter 12, verses 47 and 48 for just a moment to illustrate this point. Because in this context, Jesus does talk about different levels of punishment, if you will. Luke chapter 12 and verses 47 and 48. Now look at what Jesus says here. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. Now I want you to notice that word, many stripes, right there at the end of verse 47. Now look at verse 48. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. Now, these are the words of Jesus. So he's saying to know what to do and failing to do it is an offense that is worthy of more punishment than someone who didn't know what to do and failed to do it. Now notice what he says at the end of verse 48. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. And so he's talking about final judgment here in this context and being prepared for that final judgment. And so there are those who are going to receive many stripes because they knew what was right and then they didn't do what was right. And there's going to be some who receive few stripes because they didn't know what was right and they failed to do what was right. But nevertheless, in failing to do what was right, they still sinned and they still deserve a punishment. But they're not going to receive as much punishment as the person who knew what to do, because the person who knew what to do has no excuse, you see. And so in that regard, we are responsible for the knowledge that we have, and we better take care that we use this knowledge in the way that God wants us to use it. So, in thinking about this particular question, I believe that the answer to the question is yes, there are going to be some degrees of punishment that are greater than other degrees of punishment, and that some are going to receive many stripes and others are going to receive few stripes. Now we should not think, though, that final judgment, final condemnation is going to be something that anyone is going to be able to tolerate or that anyone is going to be able to get through. We should not think that simply because some will be punished more than others. No, hell is a place that is not tolerable at all. It's not going to be a place that you want to be, and it's going to be a place that is where people are being punished for their sins against God, a place that originally was reserved for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25 and verse 41, a place of everlasting darkness, Matthew 22 and verse 13, a place where the unrighteous will dwell, Matthew 25 and verse 30, a place of everlasting agony, Matthew 22 and verse 13. And while some will not suffer as much as others do because of the sins that they committed, but even the least bit of suffering will be bad enough. And eternal separation from God in and of itself is going to be unthinkable. And we certainly don't want that to happen within our lives. And so it is incumbent upon us to accept the offer that God makes in His Son Jesus Christ and do what God wants us to do in order to be saved and obey His commands so that we may take advantage of His gracious offer to save us in spite of the fact that we have sinned against Him. And why does He do that? Because He loves us and He wants us to be with Him. But for those who decide that they just don't want to be with God, well then, God will allow them the results and the consequences of that choice. They're not going to like it, but nevertheless, God will allow it. And everyone who has ever lived in this world, if they decide not to receive the blessing of forgiveness in Christ Jesus, will ultimately get what they really desire, which is their own will. And if we desire to follow our own will instead of God's will, then ultimately that's where it's going to lead us, eternal separation from God. And we will be where the devil and his angels will be, because that's what they decided to do, follow their own will instead of God's will. And so why not make the decision tonight to follow God's will and to do what He wants within your life, to take advantage of the forgiveness that Christ offers through the shedding of His blood on the cross, and to become a child of God through hearing His word and believing it, repenting of sin, confessing Jesus as Christ, and being baptized for the remission of sins. That's something that God wants you to do so that your sins won't have to be borne upon your own shoulders for all eternity. That's something that God commands us to do and that we must do if we're going to receive the forgiveness that Christ has to offer. And if we haven't done that, then in essence what we're doing is choosing our own will over God's will. Why would you do that? Why would you choose your own will over God's will? Why not simply submit to the will of God and be forgiven and understand that God loves you and that God has prepared a wonderful place for you to be with Him eternally? And so in that regard, escape the horrible punishment that's going to take place for everyone who's committed sin. And remember, there's not a single person who hasn't sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and verse 23, 1 John chapter 1 and verses 8 and 10. If you say you have no sin, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. And so no one is going to be able to escape unless they can call upon the blood of Christ as the forgiveness for their sins and take an advantage of that forgiveness by coming in contact with that blood, by being baptized into the likeness of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And so if anyone is in need to become a Christian tonight or to be forgiven of sin so as to escape that horrible consequence of eternal separation from God, why not make things right with God tonight while together we stand and sing?